This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast on the 14th of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by CJ Miller, Sabrina Halverson, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, who says soggy the next couple of days. The podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more, and stop by your local branch. In the news, we have stories on the impact of a Tyson plant closing in Iowa and how to grow the U.S. aquaculture industry. Also, the Wednesday corn, bean, and wheat markets closed near steady. Steve Erdman from Chicago has market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years' experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24.
How the closure of a major pork production plant in Iowa could impact the hog markets and the push for growing U.S. aquaculture. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. It was announced this week that Tyson plans to shut down another food production facility, this time a pork plant in Perry, Iowa, near Des Moines. And that plant has nearly 1,300 employees and kills about 8,000 head a day. That facility is expected to close later this summer.
The market has not crumbled on this news, and that, to me, is supportive long-term.
And that's Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting.
It's detrimental when you see a packing plant close to the local market, the community, you name it. And we probably are going to see a few others close, and I feel bad for that. But the industry on a whole is going to absorb this rather quickly, I believe, CJ.
Setzer says that other packing plants across the U.S. will quickly pick up the slack once the pork plant in Perry, Iowa shuts down.
We're starting to see packers move their new facilities, ramping up some facilities. And of course, the shackle speed at some of these plants has been bumped up as well. We've seen some guidelines eased a little bit, some restrictions, so we can put hogs through a little quicker. And the other one that we're looking at is hogs are just a little bit heavier.
He adds that the USDA's recent WASDE report shows the forecast for both pork production and pork exports have increased for 2024.
And when we go back to that WASDE report, the USDA average hog value for 2024 estimated at $60.75 per head. That is up $2.16 on the year. So the USDA, anyway, is a little bit more optimistic than some of the other data that we're showing that would be detrimental for hog values.
You can hear my full conversation with Carl Setzer from Consus Ag Consulting at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, when you go to the seafood section of your local grocery store, chances are that most of the fish and shrimp that you buy were produced through the aquaculture industry. Sabrina Halverson reports now on the push to further grow that industry here across the U.S.
Americans are large consumers of seafood despite our need to import most of it, says Drew Winters with Stronger America Through Seafood.
The U.S. imports somewhere between 60 and 80% of our own seafood, depending on how you calculate it. and 50% of that is farm raised. So we actually produce very little of our own seafood, and we're getting a big chunk of it from overseas already. But seafood consumption in the U.S. is going up. It's steadily growing, and it will continue to grow, we believe, in the future. So there's a huge market for this and a huge demand, particularly for sustainable, healthy seafoods. And we can do that through aquaculture.
Winters provides insight on how we can expand our seafood supply domestically.
The real key to expanding that is to move into U.S. federal waters. So the U.S. does have an aquaculture industry, but there are no farms in U.S. federal waters right now. The regulatory process is very complex. There are farmers who have been trying to establish operations in federal waters for decades and have been unable to get through the process. So the real key to being able to expand our seafood supply through aquaculture is going to be able to do that in federal waters. And we really need federal legislation. We need clear authority to farm in federal waters, and we need clear pathway through the regulatory process. And SATS, Stronger America Through Seafood, has been advocating for a bill called the Aqua Act in Congress that would do just that.
Thanks to seafood being a sustainable protein and its nutritional benefits, she expects demand to even increase. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom fit to your operation's goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in to talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
We've got a soggy couple of days here over the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Let's take a look at that Hoosier Ag Day Indiana Farm forecast. Rain started last night in key areas or select areas of the state. Rain and thunderstorms will be with us through the day today, through the overnight tonight, and we'll see lingering shower activity through tomorrow. More so in central and southern Indiana than up north, but I'm not going to rule it out anywhere. This system has moisture for everyone. At the end of it all, I think we're anywhere from a third of an inch on the low end, which not many people will see, all the way up to an inch and a half on the top end. I won't rule out 2 inches in spots, but it seems like those thunderstorm clusters are going to be smaller in scope over the next couple of days, so not as big of a threat. So moisture, yes. Usable moisture, I think so. This is coming in a pretty decent, steady way. Not a gully washer by any stretch. It's definitely going to help prime our soil moisture. I've talked with several folks over the past few weeks that really would like a decent rain or two as we get closer to planting. This is all winding down as we move through tomorrow afternoon into the evening. We're still somewhat mild behind this, but colder air is coming. It may not get here until over the weekend. We're starting to see a chill move down into northern parts of Indiana on Saturday, for example, but not taking control of the entire state until Sunday. Sunday is going to be quite chilly, and we see very cold temperatures for Monday and even into next Tuesday of next week. We're seeing a cold air coming out of Canada, big drop in temperatures. That also should fuel some fairly strong winds. I'm looking mostly at the second half of the weekend, Saturday afternoon, Sunday. That's when we could see the windiness really ramp up. Lake effect, yeah, we'll probably have to deal with that off and on early next week, Monday, Tuesday, with northwest flow coming across the Great Lakes. I don't think it's a lot of precipitation, but clouds for sure. Then Wednesday, we moderate temperatures nicely ahead of our next weather system that shows up Thursday of next week. Can bring us anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of rain. Coverage at 85 to 90% of Indiana. That one's gone for the following Friday to the 22nd, and then we gear up for another weather system likely into that weekend of the 23rd and 24th. Right now it has a track that goes a little bit farther north with the main body of the low in precipitation, but we'll see. I would pencil in another round of moisture for somewhere in that 23rd to 24th time frame. That's a look at the forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
What's in a name? trust for one thing. You trust the name of the seed you plant and the tractor you drive. Since 2006, Indiana farmers have been trusting the name Hoosier Ag Today to give them the timely, relevant, and credible information they need. And every day they trust this local radio station to keep them informed and entertained. So when someone asks you the name you trust, remember Hoosier Ag Today and this station.
Quiet mixed markets with only gains in nearby beans by the close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. Just a little lower on nearby corn and wheat. Beans up a little. We'll have numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed it at the end of trade from Steve Erdman, EFG Group in Chicago. Steve, in the end, really steady markets. Corn, soybeans, wheat, but not a whole lot happening. Can we point to a real lack of fundamental support with the quiet trade?
Well, I think the trade's getting a little nervous. I think the funds have been very short. I think they had record shorts on when we looked at the numbers last Friday. So you're probably seeing some short covering as a dynamic from the funds. And I think they probably are looking at some of the longer-term forecasts. Some of the world climatologists are saying that we are going to move rapidly from an El Nino to a La Nina, which means, or could mean, I should say, a dry and hot June and July. And I think that's really the underpinning of the market right now. We're still looking at what's going on in South America. Poor Argentina is getting flooded now after being dry last year. Now they're getting floods. And Brazil is looking at some extreme temperatures, triple digit temperatures, and a lack of rainfall this week. So, you know, CONAB came out and lowered their bean production estimate in Brazil. So they're widening that disparity between the USDA and what CONAB is saying. And people are trying to rectify why that is the way it is. I think the USDA is still at 155 or 156. And CONAB came out at 147.6, I think. So still a pretty wide disparity between the two governmental agencies and what they're saying in terms of South American crops. Beyond that, I think the trade is looking at the dryness in northeastern Iowa, and they couple that with the prospect for even more dryness and heat coming in this summer. Obviously, we've got the March 31st planting intentions and quarterly stocks coming at us here in a couple of weeks. And I think the trade's kind of considering that. But we just rallied the corn market 36 cents. And I've been on beating a drum with a lot of producers that carried corn from last year's crop that are coming in and having to make meetings with their bankers to get their operating notes addressed, maybe get their cash rent negotiated with their landlords. And I'm pushing them to be at least thinking about marketing grain on this 36-cent rally in May corn. We went to the 50-day moving average. It held. My target was 445 to 447 for May corn. We got there yesterday and today. I mean, I would be giving the market some corn. I'd be rewarding it at this juncture, and I'd be looking at potential hedging strategies for new crop. Allendale came out and they're suggesting that bean acreage is going to be up this year and corn acreage might be down a little bit. I take issue with that because I think everybody that I talked to in the last week that's looking at 65 degree temperatures in the middle of March, they're out putting anhydrous on. I talked to a guy just 10 minutes ago that was seeding fescue, top seeding some stuff. He said there's guys doing tiling. There's farm work. And he even said to me, he loved the fact that he was able to get back out in the field. And I think that generally is how most farmers are looking right now. They want to, you know, the weather is fit. The ground is fit. They're looking for something to do. And they get on their tractors and get out and get after it. So I really think that this favorable weather might equate to greater corn acreage numbers, but we'll see in a couple of weeks. But by and large, those are the things that I think are really impacting the market right now, Andy. This poor wheat market just needs to find some friends. We closed, 8 to 10 cent lower in Kansas City, about a dime lower in Minneapolis, and Chicago, only 2 to 4 lower. So you know, if we've got real problems in the wheat belt for the hard red winter varieties, then Kansas City should be leading us out of the hole, and it's just not doing it yet. We still are pushing 40% stocks to usage in wheat, and we're still uncompetitive in the world market for wheat. So there's not too many good things to say about wheat right now, and that's going to make it increasingly difficult for corn to support and find a reason to rally.
Steve Erdman comments there. Steve with EFG Group in Chicago. Now, the Wednesday settlements down a half cent on the May corn contract. It dips to 441 and a quarter. July down a quarter, 453 and a half. Dees up a quarter at 473. In beans, mixed with the front months up a little. May, 1196 and three quarters, up three quarters. A penny and three quarters higher. July beans, 1210 and a quarter. And May wheat, 544 and a quarter, down three and a quarter. Livestock mixed, April live cattle, 189.92, up 167. And April lean hogs, 84.87, down 47. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Ag Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.